Not only are you thinking and visualizing, you are projecting that into your physical reality, into the holographic reality that is a house of mirrors that will then reflect back to you.
Welcome to the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our inner wisdom and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to self-discover, create, and be present in the world, while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our sense of empowerment so we can live our lives ecstatically. Now let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, where we activate and inspire women in their power and their authenticity and in their ecstasy. I'm your host, Alara Sage. I'm a womb shaman, and I'm an activator and facilitator of Shakti, which is creative life force energy. That's the energy of the wind, the energy of your breath, the energy of your heartbeat, the energy of the ground. It's literally the energy of everything. We have this energy within us. I'm also an embodied femme power, and I'm on a mission to help women to embody their femme power. The femme sacred feminine energy has not been on our planet for over 5,000 years. So we do not know what it truly is like to have this on our planet. And might I say, it's nothing short of miraculous to experience it first and foremost within yourself, and then to start to create it through your physical reality. So today we're going to have a fun conversation, but first and foremost, I want to address something. I had a wonderful woman write an excellent review on the Ecstatic Woman Podcast, which I'm super, super grateful for. And she mentioned how she felt judged by me through the anxiety episode. And I just want to really say to everybody, to all of you listeners, that I am never here to judge you. And I want you to know that I never say anything out of judgment. She mentioned something about taking anxiety meds. And the episode I did was talking about how anxiety is a superpower. That doesn't mean that we can't take medication for it. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to feel it and to experience it. It just means that you have the power to turn it into a superpower. So for that beautiful listener, I hope that you hear me when I say I am absolutely compassionate and I send you great love and blessings, okay? I am not here to judge anybody. I'm simply here to bring you guys information in hopes of changing, altering, transforming your reality into a more powerful one, okay? Yay. All right. So today I wanted to talk about our imagination, because our imagination is a very, very powerful tool that, in all honesty, we don't really think of it much in our adulthood, right? Children are extremely imaginative. And somewhere along the way, we lose that skill. And why is that? Why do we lose that skill? And why is it so important to us? We're going to talk about that here today on the Ecstatic Woman. So the first thing, you know, I've mentioned it before here on the podcast, but, you know, throughout my younger years, I really created things very easily. And I had people saying to me, why do you always get what you want? Why do you create things so easily? And I honestly, I didn't even know where I was doing it. It didn't occur to me that I was creating everything I wanted. I just did it. And it wasn't until I left the country when I was 19 years old to travel the world. And the first place I went was Fiji. And when I got to my friend's house in Fiji, there on the coffee table was a book called Creative Visualization. It was a very skinny book, and I opened it and I read it in like a very short amount of time because it was that skinny. And I realized when I read it that that was the reason that I had created things so easily, so effortlessly. It was because I had the ability to visualize what I was desiring and create it. So that was the clicking point for me in understanding, now I get it. Now I understand why I'm being told that I create things easily, effortlessly. In those years that I'm speaking to, those childhood years, those adolescent years, when I wanted something, it would absolutely kind of become an obsession. And I joke about this because it's like a conscious obsession. You know, it's obsessions that serve us, right? Obsessions that are really from the right place. They're not egoic, and of course, they're not harmful to ourselves or to others. And these beautiful obsessions are what creates passion and really largely create a lot of the evolution of humanity. If you think about the great inventors of the world, they succeeded because of their obsession. And they succeeded because they had a vision and they held on to that vision and they didn't give up. And that's using the imagination and further using the other two chakras that we'll talk about today to really create your reality. So our imagination is obviously in our mind, and it's connected to our eyes, and it's connected to our third eye. And our imagination is governed by our pineal gland, which is our sixth chakra. And the pineal gland does really two functions, primary functions. It has a lot of functions, but two primary functions of projecting light, aka information, into our physical reality via our thought structures and via our imagination. And two, receiving light and translating it. So our eyes receive the physical light, and our third eye receives the non-physical, the light we can't see via our physical eyes, okay? AKA subtle energy, okay? This is why it's known as the psychic center, because it's receiving that subtle information and translating it into something that we can understand via our mind. But that is just one of three creator centers. And this is important to understand because we often hear about the pineal, right? We hear about its psychic capacities. We hear about, you know, all the wonderful gifts and magical gifts that it brings us. We hear about the heart and how we want to live in our heart. We want to live heart-centered. But does it not intrigue you that that just stops at the chest? Are we living only in the upper two-thirds of our body, actually third of our body? What about the lower two-thirds of our body? Is there nothing magical there? And of course, there is. For women, the magic of the lower half of your body is in your yoni. It's in your womb, right? Because your womb, literally, can take ethereal energy and create physical human form. It's so incredibly miraculous. But it's not just our womb. It's our ovaries, it's our cervix, it's our G-spot, it's our clitoris, it's our yoni. There's all of this magical energy there in our sexual organs. And, you know, this is something that ancient Egypt absolutely understood and reveled in, right? And throughout the years, we've really shamed our sexual energy, and we don't even know what Shakti is. So, Shakti is creative life force energy. All of your sexual energy is creative life force energy, but not all your creative life force energy is sexual energy. And that's an important distinction, because what that means is we can use our sexual energy to create our reality, but we can also just use our Shakti to create our reality. Okay, with our sexual organs and with the embodiment of their esoteric wisdom. So those are the three creator centers. So today we're really here to talk about the pineal and the imagination and the power that your pineal and your imagination really are here to help you with. Now let's go back, right? Because when we're children, it's very easy to create our imagination. We get lost in our imagination. I mean, I remember I would create these entire scenes in my mind, very much like VR, virtual reality today. I could see everything with my eyes open, and I would interact as if I was wearing a VR headset today. And it was very real to me. Some of it was my imagination, and some of it was things that I could see, because I could see beings, etc. But all children have this capacity of really being fully absorbed in their imagination. And then what happens? Why do we stop imagining? When I work with clients, oftentimes they will say, I can't imagine, or I don't imagine very easily, or, you know, maybe they don't feel like they're very good at it. But the truth is that you are constantly creating visuals and images in your mind throughout the day. I learned this when I started communicating with animals, because one of the ways that we communicate with animals is by creating images in our mind. The animals can see our images. When people tell me that they can't do that, I ask them, what happens when they are foreseeing, quote unquote, something that they don't want to happen? So let's say you are getting low on money and your mind starts to go crazy about lack and about not having enough money. What happens? You start to visualize the potential, right, of bankruptcy, whatever, losing your home, losing your car, whatever it is. Or perhaps you notice an alleyway or an area of the street that doesn't really feel safe. What does your mind do? It automatically creates these scenes of what could potentially happen. Perhaps you see a man or a woman that you feel drawn to, and you start to create visuals of what it could feel like and be like to be with them. Maybe you have a vision, and that vision will absolutely be visual. So regardless of where you think you are on the imagination spectrum, I invite you to give yourself more credit than you think you have. Because the truth is that you're doing it all the time. You're doing it all the time. You're just not paying attention to those visuals. Isn't that interesting? Most of that has to do with the fact that we are running so many thoughts through our mind. It's a constant stream of thought, that the visuals move through your mind very quickly. Whereas when children are playing, they're very grounded, they're very in the moment, and they are simply being with that particular scene, right? They're dinosaurs and the jungle that they're immersed in. Most adults are flipping through potentials and work and this and the kids and mom's house and all the different things going on simultaneously. So it's very, very rapid. This is one of the reasons we don't even notice that we're actually constantly creating visuals in our head. The second thing is sometimes we perceive that it should be perhaps like VR, where you can turn you know, 360 degrees and see the full spectrum of a given scene, which you absolutely can do. But most of the visuals that come into our head are very quick clips, quick seconds of moments of time, and or more of just like a snapshot, right? It's not necessarily a full visual. However, if you were to give any of those visuals spaciousness, if you were to give any of them some time and focus and attention, you absolutely could turn them into a more full spectrum experience. So adults are absolutely imaginative, probably more than they realize, and perhaps even more than they want to be. The other difference to this is that adults are imagining things that don't generally feel good. Once again, children are lost in play. Curiousness, delight, joy. And most humans are thinking about scary potentials. Most humans are creating in their mind the what ifs that they don't want to experience. And this is where the subconscious mind is projecting into our physical reality our belief structures and our fears. So it's not necessarily enjoyable, and therefore we don't relish in our imagination. So think for a moment, perhaps, of maybe the most recent concern that you've had. And what did you imagine? What did you picture? Because you did. So congratulations, because you still have an imagination, my love. It's still there, I promise you. Now, again, it might not be as crystal clear as it was when you were a child. And you might not have, quote unquote, like a good grasp on it, meaning it could be very fleeting and it could be vague. But it is there. The other thing about the imagination, and when we are children, and back to when I was younger and really found myself creating my reality very easily, is that we are using our other two creator centers much more in our younger years, right? Before we are tainted is the word that wants to come through right now, before we're tainted. We are naturally much more present and in our bodies. Sacral chakra, right? We are much more connected to the moment and connected to other people and other beings. And we're naturally much more in a state of joy. Now, for you, you can start to ask yourself, when did you start to lose that? And it might have been very early on if you had severe trauma early on in your life, or it might have slowly, what I call Chinese water tortured its way out more and more. For most people, it starts to happen really around adolescence. Now, isn't this intriguing, right? Because at adolescence, what really comes online? Yes, our sexual energy. Isn't that interesting? And isn't it interesting that that's where we start to really lose connection to our imagination, to play? Largely because our society just doesn't have a freaking clue when it comes to sacred sexuality, when it comes to having a healthy relationship with your sexuality at a young age. You know, our first inclination is just to tell kids, don't do it. Meanwhile, their hormones are raging and it's where they feel drawn. Now, I'm not saying Let's not even go there. That's not what this conversation is about. But I'm not saying anything to parents if you're listening. I'm not implying anything with those words. I'm merely pointing out the interesting fact that this happens when our sexual energy comes online and that our society really doesn't know how to help kids through this. We come out of our bodies because we feel shame, because we feel guilt, because we stop understanding the beauty of that energy within us. We come up more into our heads and we really disconnect from our intuition, from our wisdom, and from our divine self and truth. So imagination is so powerful, especially when it's combined with the other two chakras. So the more that you can breathe down into your bodies, my love, the more you can breathe down into your womb, into your yoni, the more you will really connect to both your heart and your pineal gland. I recently had a client who has often felt like she isn't imaginative. And as we've opened up her cervix and really brought her energy through her sexual organs and her womb, wow, the visions have really begun to activate it. Understanding the power of your mind and the power of your imagination is so imperative. Because you get to choose the movie that you are projecting onto the screen of your physical reality. Do you want it to be a horror show? Do you want it to be a film of fear, limitation, shame, inadequacy, or do you want to create something for yourself that makes you cry because of the absolute beauty? Have you ever experienced one of those films? It makes you cry out of joy, out of awe. You have that power to create that. You have the power to create that. So a couple of pointers, a couple of things to keep in mind, right? First and foremost, the more you are embodied, the more you are present in your body and present in this moment, the more that your sacral chakra is open, the more that your heart is open, the more your pineal gland will be, or pineal chakra, really, will be open. Remember that our Shakti travels up our body. And isn't this intriguing again, right? Because you hear so much about the pineal gland, you hear so much about the heart, and yet the Shakti starts below that. So why aren't we talking more about the root chakra, about the sacral chakra, about connecting in, healing those wounds of sexual distortion? And then that activates the Shakti. And the Shakti is so deeply healing for yourself, so incredibly healing. It is your internal healing power for you. And she travels up and she travels up and she opens up the chakras as she goes up. So to have a clearer imagination and to have more clarity of your imagination, right? More clarity of what images you are creating in your mind. You need to have those lower chakras more open. Another thing, you know, similar to what I said before about when I was an animal communicator, how many animals were rather confused because their owners would say one thing verbally and then think of something else in their mind. So there was contradiction between what was said out of the mouth and what was said via the images. I think we can all relate to how the animals feel, because how many times have you literally felt somebody being contradictory within themselves, right? Like maybe you were feeling that they're saying or thinking one thing, but they're actually verbally saying something else. You can often feel that contradiction. Well, it's very confusing for the animals. And secondly, a lot of animals just stop listening to the images that their humans are making because they are so fast and erratic. And this is what the animals used to tell me and show me. And it was where I really learned how quickly humans can go through images. It's like you're making a flip book, right? Remember the books that you used to draw, and then the next page you draw something slightly different, and the next page draw the same thing slightly different. As you flip it, it looks like it's moving. But each page is almost like a completely different thought, right? Because the mind is jumping all over the place. And so you flip the book, and it doesn't really make any sense. So understanding that you need to be embodied more and more in the present moment to have that clarity of what are you actually imagining right now? What are the images that are going through your head? Because my love, not only are you thinking and visualizing, you are projecting that into your physical reality, into the holographic reality that is a house of mirrors that will then reflect back to you. Not necessarily always exactly the same that you imagine. We all know that's not true. But if we imagine it enough, we can create something like it or something similar to it. That's what a self-fulfilling prophecy is often referring to. How somebody insists that something's going to happen to them, and then thus they create it. So being connected to your womb, being connected to your yoni, being open in your heart, being really grounded and centered. Two, you can also practice your imagination. One of the greatest ways to practice your imagination is to close your eyes. And right here, right now, let's do this activity together. And I want you to picture an apple. And I want you to picture that apple on a table or a bench or a rock or a chair. And notice what transpires through that. Is your apple red? Is it green? Is it on a chair? Is it on a rock? Or is it on a table? Is it inside or is it outside? And just take a moment to take in what you see. Focusing on the apple. Now, maybe it immediately starts to shift and change, and know that that's absolutely perfect. Maybe you have it and then it disappears, and then you can come back to it again and it disappears again. That's okay too. Remember that whatever you are experiencing is perfect. And just breathe into your body. Just kind of relax. This is not a performance. I am not going to grade you on this. This is practice. So relax, relax your body, breathe into your body. And picture that apple. And now just simply watch the apple. And notice what happens. If you watch it long enough, something will change. something will shift, something will happen. And you can just keep watching. The whole scene might entirely shift and change. Or the apple might stay there and people or animals or other beings might come in and leave and go. It's quite profound. And if your mind wanders during this, then you just simply bring it back. This is an excellent skill to practice. And the truth of it is what you're doing is you're seeing into where this apple exists. Now, that might sound really far-fetched, but I invite you to stay open-minded and feel the truth of these words. There are infinite potentials of any one such experience. Infinite potentials, all happening simultaneously. And we are connected to everything, all of it. And so when we engage in our imagination, again, we are activating and working with our pineal gland that reads subtle information. And we can very much read streams of consciousness that are coming from various different planes of existence, dimensions, etc. If you practice this, you will very much see what I'm saying to this. You will begin to be a part of the scene that you experience. It's very, very delightful. Another way is just to play with a friend, play with a partner, and practice saying something to the other one. So for instance, if I was playing with you right now, I could say, go ahead and close your eyes, and in front of you, see a movie screen. And now on that movie screen, picture a pink balloon with a string. And now picture that pink balloon floating up to the sky. It's a blue sky with white clouds. And now the balloon pops. And as a balloon pops, a white bird starts to fly by. And as the white bird starts to fly by, a butterfly all of a sudden is right in front of your face, kind of fluttering around like butterflies do. And next thing you do is you hear a dog and you turn to the right and you see a brown dog there on the ground with some pavement and some grass. It's pretty incredible how much you did that all in your mind. And just having somebody kind of guide you through a little story, you realize just how imaginative you really are. So then, the trick is to use your imagination, my love. Use it for your own power. What do you desire to create? What can you imagine your life being like that lights you up? That when you think of it, wow, you get so excited. You become joyous, perhaps. Yes, there might be belief structures that say that that's not possible, yada, yada, yada. Just ignore those for now. And spend time imagining the life that you truly desire. You know, they say that entrepreneurs are often delusional. They say that geniuses and inventors are often delusional, that visionaries are delusional, and they are. They spend so much time in their imagination, and they imagine it until it is created. So become delusional, my friend. Become delusional. Create such a strong imagination of what you desire to experience. It becomes your reality. It can happen. I've done it throughout my life And, you know, I'm not claiming to be perfect at it, because me, just like anybody else, when I come across limiting beliefs in my own subconscious mind, then I have to work through those, because those limiting beliefs will tell you, yeah, no, that's not real. That can't actually happen to you. And so there absolutely has been times where I've had to continue to visualize what I desire and also simultaneously work through those limiting beliefs. But you can do that, because guess what? They're just beliefs. They're just beliefs. And yes, they can feel real. And absolutely, the experience is real. But guess what? Everything in your reality is imagination. Everything is imagination. And when you begin to realize that what you're experiencing right now is your imagination, then you begin to blur the lines between what is quote unquote real and what is imagination. And therefore, you begin to deepen into your power to create your reality. Yes, yes, yes. Address your physical reality. Yes, pay your bills. Yes, pay your taxes. Do all the things that you have to do in this physical reality. Play by the rules. I'm not saying to go off the rail. But I am saying create those visions of what you want and begin to believe it and spend time there, quality time with your vision. Spend quality time with your vision. You know, when I was younger, that's why it was easier, because I had a lot more time to spend in those visions. But it's possible for anybody, anytime. And the more you spend time there, the more you begin to believe that it's possible and that it's real, and therefore you create it. Our imagination is incredible. And honestly, we're just beginning the process of understanding. I didn't even talk about the connection between your pineal gland and your G-spot. I didn't even talk about the deeper esoteric wisdom of your body, of the human body, and what you're really capable of. We're just skimming the surface in this conversation. But I hope this has brought you either some new awareness, new insight, or a reminder of how powerful your mind is, and that everything is imagination. And therefore, what do you want that imagination to look like? As always, I'm so incredibly grateful for you, for your time, for listening to this, for being a part of my community. Thank you so much, my love. And as always, every Tuesday is a solo episode and every Thursday is a guest episode. And be sure to share. And be sure to join the Facebook community. If you're on Facebook, it's called the Ecstatic Woman Podcast Community. Until next time, my love, I will see you then.
Thank you for being a part of the Ecstatic Woman Podcast. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your inner wisdom and living your life ecstatically. If you want to be invited back to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.